"Who are you?" he said. She was startled, as if she'd only been dreaming as she sat upon the snow-buried stone by the wall in the garden. She did not make a dent in the drift, though earth left broad, ugly marks dredged through the yard as he made his way to her. He had only come out to pull a sheaf for the fire, but there she was, under the clouded shadows of a snowing sky, sitting in high winter as if on a summer's day. "Oh," she said, I didn't see you there."
"Didn't see me? I was right in front of your face."
"Were you? I must admit, it is hard to see in this fog. Every so often, if I sit still enough, the sun will break through, and I will see the blue of the sky, and hear the sparrows, and feel the touch of the breeze. But that is so very rare."
"It's snowing," he said. "The wind is frigid."
"Is it?" She looked honestly surprised. Her eyes were blue. He knew that blue.
"What is your name?" he asked.
"It is a fair question," she answered. "But first, you must tell me what you are doing here. How have you come into my home, fog-bound and dreadful though it is?" One might imagine that this question set Earth back, for it was the last thing he expected, standing as he was in his yard, which he had known since his first steps. "This is my home," he said, still confused. "I have come out from the house to gather a sheaf for the fire, and you are on my favorite stone, which I used to leap from as a boy." Now she laughed at him, and he felt it was quite offensive. "But you are a boy," she giggled, covering her mouth with her small hand in the most delightful of ways. It was almost enough to stop him from furrowing his brow in anger, but not quite. Yet this she noticed. "Oh, do not be angry for what you are," she smiled, most winsomely. "You are a boy, and I am a girl. And more than that, it would seem that we both have the same home, for you are at your house, and I am in my prison. And yet here we sit, conversing as if at a merry town square." Earth's arrogance was forgotten in an instant, and it was not entirely due to her growing loveliness, which every moment seemed to become more real, as if their worlds converged and the ghost became flesh. In truth, she herself noted a moment of brisk cold winds and the occasional flake of snow falling amidst her fog. But the thoughts of each were hidden from the other, and all that was known was their conversation. "Prison?" he asked, and his face told the story of his dismay. "I do not understand it, even though I want to believe what you have said, that our homes hold some mystery to them, and that there is a transcendence at work here, a weirding. But all the more I cannot understand how you may be in a prison and yet may roam free."
"I do not understand it myself," she replied. "I am, after all, only a girl. And as you know, I did not even know that I had escaped my prison at all, or that I had intruded upon your home. I was merely sitting, as I always do, looking vainly for the sun."
Even as she said the words, Earth saw that she was fading from view. Where a moment ago a vision of feminine perfection had been on the verge of incarnation, so close that he might have leaned in and smelled the skin of her neck, or listened to the ruffling of her hair, now a whitening fade whispered before him, for in her world the fog was descending upon her in fullest force, pushing down upon her with deep darkness as it so often did. She too knew it, and she saw the earnest face of the young man she had only just met receding into the clouds. "I'm life," she called out, unsure if he could even hear her, for he was gone now.
"My name," she said, "is life."